Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher, Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby, just got chilly in here, by the way. What's coming up in this segment is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good. We jumped the gun a little bit, but that's okay. It's a Friday. We're feeling frisky. It's payday.
Well, you gassed up your boy Steven and he's letting you down. This is what happened.
Fine. Player slip up. Player slip up. It's all good. He'll bounce back.
Players only meeting happening soon? Is that what that means?
Yeah, Carter, Risotto, myself. Oh. You guys are not players. You guys are haters around here.
I told Rizzo after that, you know what? It's okay. You're never going to make that mistake again. This is how you learn. So he's growing. He's learning. This is how you get better. So
we call him Rizzo or Risotto? I like Risotto.
I call him Rizzo, but you can call him whatever you want.
So actually, Risotto. In high school, there's another Steven on the baseball team. So he had the name Steven, and because of Risotto, I went by Rizzo. So the principal, Tim Reardon, calls me Rizzo. Everybody, teachers, students, it was all Rizzo.
I'm not calling you Rizzo. Well, Rizzo's the reminds character me of Anthony Rizzo.
Well, or Rizzo the Rat from the Muppets is what I think.
Oh, wow.
About.
Rizzo the Rat.
That's a
wow.
Right there. Cool. Yeah, mm-hmm. Shout out the Muppet Christmas Carol Bonte. Yeah, I'm sure you're familiar with that one.
No, I had not yet.
I think
not
I had yet. A Muppet shout out on my Morning Roast Bingo.
Yeah, I haven't got to the Muppet Babies yet with Baby Chaz, but even though she's not a baby anymore. But I'm going to call you Risotto. I just want to call
it's
you Risotto.
It's a good name. It's like when Filmo called in and wants me to go by. He doesn't like when people call me Spadone because he likes my last name Spadoni.
Yeah.
I don't mind. Like, I don't mind the Spadone thing because that was something that was contrived in 95.7. Yeah. So that's fine. Like, no one else calls me that here. So that's okay. I feel included.
I like Risotto.
Yeah. It's an Italian name. Of course you like it. They're the best names in the history of names. They're Italian. So. Just like the best food in the history of the food. Best everything, really. Culture, everything.
He's an Italian.
Let's relax.
Yeah, Gladiator too.
Let's relax. Let's relax. I love your culture.
No, you did.
I love your culture.
Come on.
I love your
Versace.
Culture.
Come on, Bonte. What do you got? Come on, Gucci.
The Versace shirt was.
Come
good.
On, let's go. Yeah, come on.
Hey, you know what?
Prada.
Hey, I know Spadoni ate well during the holidays too.
Oh, of course, I always eat well. Well, this holiday season is a little bit different because your boy had to cook, but I made my big ziti.
Hey, there you go. You got some good stuff from, by the way, shout out to Laughing Monk Brewing.
Oh, I did get some of that lobster linguine and prime rib.
I mean, that's the thing, too. By the way, you know what? We're going to get back into Warriors here and shout out to everybody. 9251, shout out to his fiance, Luke, for getting a much better job that also covers the medical and dental as well. Can't thank you enough. Now that I think about it, Risotto stock is down. The Doobie Awards.
Within a span of an hour.
You know, the Doobie Awards. This guy and Carter, even Lucas Alexander.
Fight on.
I'm looking around saying, what the hell are they doing? All they did was sit there and eat food all day long and act like they took photos.
Was it good food?
It took like 5 photos on our iPhone. Ate food all day. I was saying, wait a minute. I couldn't get Spadone down there. Well, we needed you on the board.
Yeah, you guys need. Yeah,
can't trust Risotto. Yeah,
no,
not with Doobie Awards. Can't trust Carter.
With great power comes great responsibility. Bonte. Peter Parker, you needed him back there.
Cam, I love Killer Cam. We need him on Warriors, not the Doobies.
Correct.
And Risotto just—I mean, you talk about stealing money. I mean,
I can't believe you said that.
Some of the best crimes I've ever seen at the station.
So what were you guys hammering down at Laughing Monk Brewery? Let us know. What was the food there? Because they were a tremendous, being tremendous hosts for the Doobie Awards.
You don't need to reference it.
A lot of food.
Stuffed chicken.
The greatest food.
Stuffed chicken breast, prime rib.
The biscuits and gravy, the prime rib.
You know what I did? Because Sam brought me the prime rib bonte, and we'll get back to the Golden State Warriors, and the prime rib of the Golden State Warriors. Is Draymond Green the prime rib anymore? Or is he, you know, is he a side piece?
Wait a minute. Where is this coming from? Hold on. I got down to everywhere here. What the hell?
The prime rib and eggs
Doobies
are
over.
Trying to get
the food. The food was great. The food was great. We get it. The listeners get it. The food was great. Food was great, right, Risotto? You had like five plates.
I didn't eat anything that day, actually.
That is a bold-faced lie.
You're lying.
Actually, the only thing I had was the bacon that was served before anybody even got the food.
Might be our first category, our first nominee for lie of the year.
That's lie of the year. No chance. He went through Laughing Monk Brewing for 4.5 hours and all that weed being smoked. You probably hit some weed, too, knowing you. No chance that you didn't have any food.
Steven's pretty clean cut, actually. He stayed away from those.
So what? Everyone could be clean cut and smoke.
Sam could attest. I had the crumble cookie that was in my car.
I can attest that. I was standing with those troublemakers.
Crumble cookie grade or crumble cookies? Because Turtle Pie was in the building. And he was loud. Front office is in the building. Loud. I got to tell my boy Front Office. So I know he's listening right now.
His name is Front Office?
We call him the Front Office.
Oh, okay.
Is there a story behind that nickname?
Not really. I don't know why he calls himself the Front Office.
So it's just not an appropriate story.
No. It could be an appropriate story, but the Front Office, you're 42 years old.
Yeah.
It's time to stop sagging your pants. Now, you guys know what sagging is, right?
Correct. That was popular in the late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah. Yes. Eight or nine.
Almost gave out his government name. Front Office, it's time to stop sagging your pants. You're 42 now.
Tight as in. But although...
Let's clean it up.
Although...
No, you don't need skinny jeans.
No.
You just don't need to be sagging your pants anymore.
Tailored and tighter as in, but the kids are going back to baggy. Like, you're going to start seeing the styles if you start... Because Baby Chez is going to get up there, Bonte. Yeah. And the styles that were cool when you were in high school might be cool again when she's getting back up there.
I hope so, right? I hope so.
The single strap with the backpack?
Stop sagging your pants, all right? You're 42 now. Let's clean it up a little bit. But you need to clean it up, too.
What did I do?
So I've been back here now. This is my second day back.
Yes.
And yesterday, I was in a very good mood. It was good to be back. Yeah. It was all smiles. Risotto wasn't here. It was just you, Lubman, and myself.
Yeah.
And you got away with...
Triangle.
You know, trading Draymond for Zion Williamson. I said, you know what? Maybe we're just bored. Leave it alone.
Well, he said he got away with it.
I mean, got away with it. I didn't hammer it. I didn't press you on. I was just like, all right, yeah, I don't want Zion, blah, blah, blah. Well, to take my nap, go do the pregame show. Draymond Green goes out there and 15. Last night, what did he have? 15, 7, and 6.
Sounded like he was motivated.
6 to 10. Setting tones. He's talking Kuminga. He's doing all this stuff.
Yeah. It's great.
And all of a sudden, we come in the second hour, we're talking about the ball movement. Wow, 42 assists on 53 made baskets. Wow, 22 made threes. Wow, first game in over 23 that the Warriors shot over 50%. And all of a sudden, Jimmy Butler, we played a Jimmy Butler sound. And now we got people want to trade Draymond for Jimmy Butler? What is this, hypothetical trade season on the roast?
Yes.
What are we doing around here?
We're a 500 team. Of course it's hypothetical trade season.
But why Draymond? Draymond is playing well.
Because I don't want to trade Andrew Wiggins, who's 30 years old, and I don't want to trade Jonathan Kuminga, who's way younger than that.
For the majority of the season, he's been your second best player, Draymond Green.
Great.
Can't do it.
Second best player on a team that's not a championship team.
Jimmy Butler ain't making you the championship team.
Oh, but I can feel better about my championship chances.
No, how much better? You feel better about a guy who's never won a championship?
No, he's gone there twice as the best player, though, Bonte. Come on, that's a little disingenuous.
Did Draymond Green being a four-time champion and winning championships and playing well on that stage?
Okay. Are we really parsing like Jimmy Butler
I'm not parsing that, but oh my gosh. Jimmy Butler? Listen to Jimmy Butler last night. This guy's out there self-sabotaging the team. Doing it himself. He's self-checking himself. 6 field goal attempts from last night. It's embarrassing. And then this quote. Jimmy Butler with this quote. With the great Pat Riley running the squad. And Mickey Arison. And Eric Spoelstra. And Jimmy Butler has the audacity to say this.
What do I want to see happen? I want to see me get my joy back from playing basketball. And wherever that may be, we'll find out here pretty soon. But I want to get my joy back. I'm happy here off the court. But I want to be... back to somewhat dominant. I want to hoop, and I want to help this team win. Right now, I'm not doing that.
Can you get your joy back here on the court?
Probably not.
Probably not. He's being honest and forthright. Honestly, I appreciate that honesty from one Jimmy Buckets.
He's taken 11 field goals in the last two games. He's 6-for-11 in the last two games. Jimmy Butler out there playing.
Getting his legs back.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I mean, he's been the best player on that team for God knows how long. He's taken him to two trips to the finals. Like,
he's had help with Bam Adebayo. Yeah, I get it. No, Jimmy Butler's been great for those teams, no doubt.
And we'll talk to Sam Gordon at 8:30 about it. The likelihood of a big trade with this team covers the team for the San Francisco Cardinals.
Well, let's not get it twisted. It was in the Eastern Conference, right? It was in the East.
Yeah, but it was against the team like the Milwaukee Bucks that have won a title, a team like the Boston Celtics.
Giannis got hurt.
Who have won a title.
Giannis got hurt, and Celtics hadn't won a title up until that point. And the beautiful Philadelphia, where we saw James Harden, where Tim Legler broke down James Harden in that Game 6 elimination, where he basically gave no effort whatsoever. So,
weren't the talented team compared to those other teams. They weren't the most talented team. That's why it was amazing that Jimmy Butler was doing what he was doing.
If they're in a Western Conference, they wouldn't even make the play-in game.
Yeah, but they weren't in the Western Conference.
I'm not buying that.
We saw what we saw.
Jimmy Butler does not increase your chances. Are we diminishing what Jimmy Butler did in Miami?
What I'm diminishing is
the fact that we believe, or that maybe you believe, that Jimmy Butler gives the Warriors a better chance to win a championship than Draymond Green on this team, where he's going to have to come here and adjust to a new system. And we've seen this guy butt heads with great coaches in the past. Butt heads over and over and over again. And he's 35 years old. 35! He's actually older than Draymond.
By a few months. Like Draymond's going to be in March. He'll be 35 too. So it's just a couple months. But
September 14th, Jimmy Butler, my Virgo brother.
There you go.
So you got about 6 months there.
There you go. All right. I just don't think, and this could be a broader conversation, I just don't think anything's off the table for the Golden State Warriors outside of trading Stephen Curry. I just think that's where this team is at right now. And listen, they had a big win last night, and people are turning on the radios right now and saying, whoa, trade all these guys. We're having the conversation. We had Anthony Slater on yesterday.
That's what I'm saying.
And this is the conversation. But Bonte, this is the conversations that are going to be had for the next month. Up until the trade deadline on February 6th, we're going to be having these conversations. And it's not outlandish to say, you know, maybe you should think about trading a Draymond Green. Maybe you should think about, again, these are conversations that are going to be had. By the way, Mike Dunleavy was a teammate with Jimmy Butler, and he knows him very well back to the Chicago days.
That's probably why he won't touch him.
Apparently, according to Nick Friedell, they were friends.
Come on, man.
Nick Friedell, Odyssey NBA Insider.
Come on, man. This guy's making, and then you're not just trading Draymond for Jimmy Butler. The contracts have to match. Draymond Green's making $24 million.
Correct. I found some salaries that would match there. You'd have to add in a Moses Moody and a Gary Payton, probably. So that's three players.
To make up the $47 million?
Correct. That would add up to it.
Good Lord. Good Lord.
And now, are the Heat going to do that? I don't know. Probably not. And it doesn't sound like Pat Riley is going to be willing to play hardball, or is going to play hardball, I should say, and is going to say, yeah, actually, no, you're going to stay here, Jimmy. Sorry. You're S out of luck here. So, yes, Pat Riley in this entire situation, kind of like how we were talking about the marketing thing all summer, Bonte, where it just felt like Danny Ainge wasn't going to trade Lowry at all, the GM of the Utah Jazz. It similarly probably is going to happen with Pat Riley. And after the February 6th trade deadline, it's probably going to say Jimmy Butler still in a Miami Heat uniform. But it doesn't mean we can't have the conversation.
We had the conversation.
I just don't think it's outlandish to think about trading Draymond Green at this scenario. At this stage,
no, we're talking about for Jimmy Butler. We're talking about for Jimmy Butler. That's what it is.
It doesn't sound like you want to trade him at all, though.
No, that's not true. You give me Zion Williamson and Jimmy Butler, and I'm saying no. Hell no.
Well, there's no one else out. Like, who else?
Right.
Like,
so there's exactly. It's the same thing with Lowry marketed. When people wanted to trade Kuminga and Moody, Pajinski for Lowry marketing, I said, hell no.
Let me tell you this right now. You just
Paul George. We want to trade Wiggins and Kuminga for Paul George. I said, hell no. You dodged a bullet there.
Okay, let's pivot.
That's me, though.
Okay,
that's me.
That's fine.
And I had the conversation, and I'm not involved in
that. That's fine. And I don't want you yet. And you're speaking with honesty. No.
I'm telling you, we were having a conversation. I'm not doing those trades.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And that's fine. What about a guy that we saw yesterday who we were hard on, who isn't super old but does have a lot of mileage on his body, Joel Embiid, whose stock is low right now, and I don't know how much.
Hell no.
Oh, okay.
Hell no.
30 years
old. Are you out of your mind right now after what you saw last night?
It would be a risk.
This guy lumbering up and down the court.
It would be a risk.
He can't run. He can't run in his pace. Oh, hell no.
Because he's not healthy yet. You don't
think
he's going to get healthy at one point?
I used to love Embiid.
Yeah, I know you did. That's why this is kind of surprising.
That's what I'm telling you. No, it's not surprising. It's not surprising at all. The way he's acted this season.
He's a high-level loser, bro.
Being a teammate and trying to be a leader of that organization, I've seen the opposite of that.
Well.
I've seen the opposite of
that. Billy will bring down anyone. I'll tell you that right now. That fan base will bring down anyone.
Hasn't brought down Saquon Barkley.
This is his first season.
Hasn't brought down A.J. Brown.
Hasn't
brought down Devontae Smith.
They were talking about firing their head coach
down,
and quarterback at the start
down
of the
Bryce
season.
Harper. Huh. Hasn't brought down Trey Turner. They picked Trey Turner up. It got him rolling.
Yeah, and what they do to Alec Bohm, who was one of their best players this past year, they were ragging on him at the start of the season, weren't they? Because of a mistake he made? Come on.
We're no different in the Bay Area. But no, I'm not.
Philly fans and Bay Area fans.
No.
So you're out on Joel Embiid entirely.
I mean, you won't get him for back-to-backs. He's going to hold the ball in his hands. He doesn't run back on defense. He doesn't give you maximum effort every single possession, every single game. So no, I don't think there's a trade right now. If your premise is making a trade to become a championship team, which the Warriors are not right now, and they'll self-admit it, they'll admit that themselves, that they're not a championship team at the moment. There's not a trade out there that's going to just flip the switch and make you a championship team. There's not a trade out there.
No, but the combination of Joel Embiid and Stephen Curry still intrigues me. These guys were teammates just a few months ago at Paris in the Olympics under your current head coach and Steve Kerr. It's a lot better than what Jimmy Butler and Zion Williamson would say, because you know what? I have some rapport here with these two players. It's at least interesting to me, much more than the Jimmy Butler one, because Joel Embiid is 5 years younger. He does have size. His stock is at an all-time low right now, much like a guy you acquired whose stock was also at an all-time low at one point was Andrew Wiggins. I'm not saying it's like for like. And I think Joel Embiid, who has an MVP under his belt already, Bonte Hill, who has DPOY potential when
Joel
he is
Embiid
on.
Even available?
I mean, I can't imagine. Who's the Sixers GM? Who is that?
Daryl Morey. Daryl Morey's running the show.
Give him a call. Why not?
For what? Now we're going to Joel Embiid.
Well, I am talking about trading something and getting something right now from the Golden State Warriors.
You may not need to do anything. Right now, you're in the box.
Are they?
I think you play this out.
Yeah,
I think you push it close to the deadline, and the market will dictate what happens here. And then I think if you stabilize, here's my idea. Honestly, I think in a perfect world, you wait until the summer where more guys are available. Guys like, I don't know, Lauri Markkanen, who will be available to trade for, if you could always go revisit that. And there will be more names on the table to where you can pull some moves in the offseason. It may behoove the Warriors to just wait until the summertime to make a big-time deal, if that's what we're looking at. Because right now, I don't see anything that's going to make them infinitely better. Definitely not Jimmy Butler. Now, Kuminga is improving, and he's been in a lot of trade rumors, right?
Yes.
I personally don't want to trade him. I never have. Now, he may not fit here. Who knows? But 25-5 in his month of December tells me that there is a fit for him here with the Golden State Warriors. Here's what Draymond Green said about Kuminga.
You can just tell he's getting comfortable. He knows now, I'm going to get the ball. I'm going to have my opportunities to score. So now I just don't have to show you that I can score. Because if I pass the ball four possessions in a row, the fifth possession, what he's now starting to understand, the fifth possession, I'm still getting the ball back. You know, when I'm on the court, the ball's coming to me. And with that, it's building a sense of purpose for him. But like I said, even more so than just the sense of purpose, it's just raised his comfort level. When that happens, and you feel like, I don't have to make it happen for me to stay in the game or get my minutes, then you just can allow the game to come to you. And for him, he's special. So you allow the game to come to you, you're going to do special things. But even more importantly, then you start making everyone else better off of what you're good at. And I think that's what he's doing. He's driving. He's collapsing defense. And if the finish is there, he's going for it. If not, he's kicking out and finding open shooters. Got Buddy a wide open three. Buddy hadn't seen the ball go in the rim, through the rim in a while. He got him a wide open three off a great pass on the baseline. And, you know, that's the type of stuff when you become a superstar in this league, which I have zero doubt that he's going to become, those are the types of things that make guys then want to run through a wall for you as just a guy on your team that you're the superstar leading. And, you know, he's learning that. He's picking it up. And, you know, it's really coming together for him.
It feels like it's coming together for him after that month of December where he averaged over 21 and 6 rebounds. He's crossing the glass a lot better. Before last night, he had three straight games where he goes 10 rebounds, 9 rebounds, 10 rebounds. Then last night, he grabs a 5. He has a 5 helpers. He's playing probably his best basketball of his young career.
No, it's incredible to watch. And listen, there never has a player been so polarizing this summer. And it's all-encompassing, right, when you talk about Jonathan Kuminga. The head coach is involved. His relationship with his teammates. His relationship with the media. Like, for being such a young player, Jonathan Kuminga has been very polarizing in a Golden State Warriors uniform, Bonte, for a multitude of reasons. But just talking about on the court, which feels like the last thing we ever talk about with Kuminga, is on the court production. And what he shows you and what he has shown you this season is a guy that has potential as Draymond Green, who just said, and again, we're talking about Draymond Green. Let's not get it twisted. Guy's one of the greatest defensive players of all time. He's a future Hall of Famer.
Right.
He's a multi-time champion. When he says something like that, future superstar in Jonathan Kuminga, he's not just blowing smoke up you-know-what, Bonte. Like, do you think he believes that? I do. Like,
yeah,
he wasn't saying that a couple months ago.
He said, actually, he was with Melo on the podcast.
Oh.
He goes, you know, Kuminga's going to be here. We're not trading Kuminga.
No, yeah.
We believe you. So he's been singing the praises of JK for a while
but
now.
For him to say future superstar, that was eye-opening.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see about that. We'll see about this, too. Our boy Leroy texted.
Oh, Leroy in Oakland?
Oh, yeah. There's a trade for the Warriors that will make them a championship contender. Jakob Poeltl from Toronto.
He called in yesterday about Jakob Poeltl. Yeah. Is that the big difference, Jakob Poeltl? He's 7 feet, all right, by way of Austria. Vienna, specifically. Shout out the Vienna sausage. 29 years old, Bonte. You like to reference the age. 29, going on 30. He's averaging 15 points, 10 boards, 2 assists, shooting almost 60% from the floor. It's pretty good. It's very good.
He's very good.
Now let's look at the spot track. Look at the contract. Jakob Poeltl. What's he going to cost you? It's on a bad team of the Toronto Raptors. They're not going anywhere. $19.5 million cap this year. Then next year, year after that, with a player option. So not a horrible contract, given the production. How is he going to look on this team? That's the question. How is he going to look on this team? But that would be a low-cost kind of a move. What are you going to give up to get a Jakob Poeltl? What are you willing to give up to get a Jakob Poeltl? Are they just looking for draft picks? Because that's a guy that might get into it. Like, if you're the Toronto Raptors, you might have a bidding war on your hands.
Yeah, you may, because they're going to be selling off parts. And
yes,
a lot of people are going to be intrigued on him. It's a great name. Jakob Poeltl could play. He could play.
He checks some boxes.
He does.
Size, specifically. That's another name in Nikola Vucevic.
How much time do we have before the break?
1 minute.
Less than that, like 40 right. seconds.
We're going to get to a special guest on the other side. Sam Gordon from the Chronicle. But I want to get to
another special guest.
Stagger Sam Gordon to 8:35. And we'll get to the 2024 Rusher of the Year.
Wow.
She has something to say. Tony in Oakland.
Straight from the zone.
Appointment radio right there, folks. Appointment radio. And that's what's coming up for the game. Sponsored by the San Francisco International Airport.
Moody has to come and get the ball. Now Schroeder comes back to get it. Throws it back to Kuminga. Almost backcourt. Kuminga drives, goes up, shoveled it up, and went in off the glass.
Perfection. Bay Area is Jonathan Kuminga. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Take it away, Bonte.
What up, JK? Hey, you know what? I love JK. I love his peoples. Talk to his people sometime before the game.
Oh.
I love the Air Congo shout-outs. They appreciate the love. They're aware of what's going on around these parts. Since I've been out, and I remember before I left, there was a lot of like, oh, boy, you may just have to bite the bullet, Trey JK, blah, 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 blah. Where are we at now with Johnson Kuminga? Where are you at now with JK?
Is he untouchable at this point?
To me, he may not be untouchable, but he's very difficult to trade for me.
Okay.
I've had a hard time doing it. This kid can do a lot, man. And he's just scratching the surface. He's strong. He goes to the, you see the way he just finishes at the rim. He's now getting nifty with the left, the right. He's dunking on people's heads. He's being selective with his three-point shot. He's passing. He's directing traffic. He's directing traffic. Tell the shooter, hey, you get down there and set the down screen. Steph's coming off the curl. Set the pin down. Like, this guy, he's 22 years old. I'd have a very difficult time in trading Jonathan Kuminga.
The word I come back to is confidence. He's playing with so much confidence right now, and he feels empowered by not only his teammates but, importantly, his coaching staff. It feels like he finally has the trust factor there, and he had to earn it. There's a part of that where you have to earn that trust factor. Steve Kerr, he has to show him, and Steve Kerr has spoken glowingly about him the last few months. Draymond Green speaking glowingly about him the last few months. Those guys aren't going to sugarcoat anything. Like, and what we know about Steve Kerr is he demands perfection as well. He demands excellence from his young players. Whether you like that or not, that's the reality. This is a championship organization, and they have won a championship four times under Steve Kerr. Guy knows what he's doing, all right? I know a lot of people like to think he doesn't know what he's doing. He does. And right now, Jonathan Kuminga is a better player because of Steve Kerr. You have to give him credit for that and empowering him in this situation right now. And he's giving him the minutes off the bench. And yeah, he's going to be a spot starter at times if there's an injury here or there. But I like him in this role right now because he's just exuding confidence. I keep going back to that word. You can see it and feel it when you're watching it on TV or in person.
Well, I thought he had this confidence last year, starting in January.
I thought it was taken away from him.
Well, because he was balling. That confidence was there. I don't think the confidence ever wavered. I think some of the frustration with JK is like, look, I can do this. I can do this. Just give me the minutes. But let's, before we get to Sam Gordon of the Chronicle, and we got Kenny Caraway coming up at 9:20, ESPN 13:20. Let's get to the Roaster of the Year, the 2024 Roaster of the Year. It's Tony in Oakland. Let's get in the zone, baby. Happy New Year, Tony.
Happy New Year, Bonte. I was telling Sam, the great thing about you is if your radio ain't working quite right, just the intonation of your voice is enough. It's like you don't even have to understand what you're saying. It's hilarious, quite frankly.
I appreciate that, Tony.
I'm sure that other people have that effect on them as well. But what I wanted to say is Draymond Green is fine. He, you know, the dude is a believer. He goes within, so I would keep him. You know, Kerr is very good. He has some of that. But he isn't like the linchpin, you know, with Shanahan. The linchpin would get himself down there. But what I wanted to say was, you know, we get the North Star. This is for the Masons out there, Rosicrucians. The North Star, you know, which the Dipper, the Big Dipper points right to it. You'll have to look at what. But anyway, it gets to be in us, and we get to feel it at all times. So, you know, if they're going to get rid of Kerr one day, someone with the feels got to find someone with the North Star within, because then it can mirror like your voice, Bonte, and get everyone into that place without doing a thing. And then, you know, like Kuminga's good and he's got it, but you know, he's a little, you need a little more mirroring. Plus, mirroring of the North Star, which is, let's get down to it, it's the Christ within, or whatever you want to call the solar principle, nothing more than sun and moon together. But then the whole team is feeling like they've been listening to Bonte's voice all morning.
Hey, you know what? I had that effect on people, Tony, and it's good to hear you. Happy New Year. Hopefully you had a great New Year's. We got to run, Tony. Please call back on Monday because we'll have a lot to talk about with the 49ers and the Warriors coming off of this weekend there with the voice. I can't stand my voice, Tony. I don't know about you.
I think everyone hates the sound of their own voice. Maybe some people in this radio station don't. But,
Whoa.
We won't get into We won't get into
whoa,
that.
Shots fired. I wonder if you just shots can go a number of different ways.
You guys got to, yeah, you guys
no,
got
to
guess.
No, I'm not going to guess nothing. I'm not getting, my name is Bennett. I'm not in it. No,
by
no,
way,
no.
The North Star is called Polaris.
I'm trying to be drama-free in 2025 at all cost. New slate, new me, positive mindset, well, positive mind frame.
I think our star, our rising star, is Sam Gordon. He's on the line right now, Bonte Hill.
Is he a rising star or is he already a star? You know, I saw Sam Gordon. He was walking. I was driving up to Chase Center, and he was walking into the media section. And the way he has a bounce in his step. Mm. He had the AirPods in. I wanted to honk at him, but he had the fresh cut. I think he had some dunks on. And I'm like, damn, Sam, look at him with the swagger. I'm not talking about Sam Lovett. I'm talking about Sam Gordon from The Chronicle, who joins us on the River Islands guest line. And all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Sam, Happy New Year. Good morning, brother.
Hey, good morning, Bronte. Happy New Year. How you doing? Happy Friday, too.
Happy Friday. Got to say good morning to my man Spadoni. He's over here. Spadoni's He's trying to stir the pot on some trades here, which we'll get to in just a second. But let's get to the game. Let's get to the game. Last night, the Warriors go wire to wire in a victory over the Sixers, and they needed it. They went 22 straight games, I think, without shooting 50% from the floor. It was much needed. And again, the rise of JK. But we have to start with Steph Curry. 8-for-8, 10 assists. The demise of Stephen Curry has been a little premature. It's a little premature out there, but it was good to see Steph have a throwback night last night, Sam.
Absolute masterclass. I mean, like you said, throwback night, 8-of-8. From three-point range, the 10 assists, the dimes, too. I mean, dimes. He had a cross-court skip pass, I believe it was, to Andrew Wiggins in the weak side corner, one-handed skip pass, you know, catch and shoot, three, cash. Chase Center was on fire. But the Warriors, and Steph talked about this after the game at length, the Warriors found their pace and they found their passing, their ball movement and their rhythm, and they were able to find their pace and their passing because they were able to string together stops. I mean, they weren't having to take the ball out of the net every single time. You know, we've been wondering why haven't the Warriors been able to sustain their pace? This is a team that needs to play with pace. We know this when there's, you know, a little bit of clunkiness in the half court, like there has been for sustained stretches this year. The way to unlock that is to play fast. So you're not playing against set defenses, so you're creating catch and shoot opportunities, passing lanes, cutting lanes are open, and the Warriors did that. And they weren't having to take the ball out of the net every single time down the floor. They get up and down, they get open looks, and you know, next thing you know, Stephen Curry is stepping into clean looks from three and getting his swag on and having fun playing basketball. And that fun that he had last night, the joy that he played with, was contagious up and down the roster. I think you sense that confidence emanating through him, through the rest of his teammates as well. They go 22-of-39 from three as a collective. They shoot 61%. Curry, you know, one three-point shot away from tying the single-game record for most threes without a miss. And all around, a spectacular night, like you said, for the Warriors at Chase Center, and just, you know, a vintage performance with all the showmanship, with all the frills and showmanship that we've seen from Steph Curry the last 16 years. The vibes, the energy, the mood at Chase Center was a spectacular one for a team that, you know, again, had been, you know, one of the worst offensive teams in the NBA for a sustained stretch. So their leader answered the call. And everybody else, you know, kind of followed with the way he was playing, the energy he was playing with, the tone he set, and with the kind of the team first spirit that everybody played with last night. You saw the results, and the Warriors needed it bad.
Talking with Sam Gordon, covers the Warriors for The Chronicle. And Sam, a guy we've been talking about ad nauseum, hell, really, just his entire tenure as a Golden State Warrior, is Jonathan Kuminga. And he's such a polarizing player, and he's been playing so well. Best basketball of his career up to this point. We have one of your colleagues, Anthony Slater, on of The Athletic. And yesterday he said basically everyone is, you know, no one's untouchable except for Stephen Curry and probably Draymond Green. But anyone other than that, you know, don't be surprised if their name comes up in trade talks. But just given his recent play and just given his age, his ceiling, Jonathan Kuminga feels pretty untouchable at this point. Is that too far, though, to say he's untouchable in trade talks?
Maybe a little too far, but I would say he's certainly playing himself into that category, right? I mean, if there's a trade that – and I don't know if there's going to be a trade that's out there, right? I think if you're making a trade that involves Jonathan Kuminga, and I, you know, if you're trading for somebody, you're presuming they're on a pretty sizable salary. If they're an impact player, there's going to obviously be other salaries going out. They have, of course, expiring salaries. They have, you know, Andrew Wiggins, who's making, you know, $25-26 million, that could, you know, in theory be a centerpiece of any trade. Although he's, you know, we know what he brings to the table as an elite defender that fits perfectly within the read and react offense, that can play a little pick and roll, that can do a little bit of everything offensively. He's having a sublime season. So obviously, you know, any kind of trade you're making, I mean, it has to be a trade, I think, that you're making that you feel like is going to definitively catapult you in the title contention. Is that trade out there? You know, even with Jonathan, you know, even if Jonathan Kuminga is a part of it, I'm not necessarily sure it is. Meanwhile, what you've seen since the Minnesota game, right? Since the game in Minnesota, where Steve Kerr covertly, you know, not so covertly, but covertly addressed his shot selection with the contested mid-range jumpers, and basically challenged him. You know, my read on that was basically challenged him. I mean, to as consistently play 0.5 basketball as possible, understanding his teammates' spatial awareness. And what have we seen since then? We've seen exactly that, along with, I believe, 24.5 points a game on really efficient shooting, better than 50% from the field, almost 40% from deep, in part because he's taking the right three-pointers. He's not just, you know, not holding the ball and shooting. They're three-pointers that are in rhythm, and he's playing to his strength, which is getting downhill, getting out in transition, an absolute force at the basket, and then reading the floor brilliantly, understanding where his teammates are, understanding that getting off of it and getting it back, and maybe a second side action, the defense and rotation, that's going to open up driving lanes. That's going to open up cutting lanes. That's going to open up opportunities for him to go baseline and play above the rim. And with his combination of physicality, force, speed, and transition, the defensive upside that I think we're starting to see realized, you know, 6'7", 6'8", versatile, can guard different types of players. When he's engaged, he's certainly a disruptive defender. I mean, Steve Kerr, you know, Draymond Green, you know, they're right. This does feel different than maybe just productive offensive spurts that he's had in the past. He's playing, you know, more so within the framework of their read and react offense, within their flow, while still finding his opportunities to do what he does, play to his strengths, get downhill, and get out in transition. So, I mean, 22 years old, it takes time. Everybody's developmental track is a little different, and he is a rookie, you know, coming out of G League Ignite and goes to a veteran, experienced team with championship expectations. Obviously, we've seen kind of the ups and downs as he's finding his way, but look at him now. Look at what he brings to the table. I think you have to be getting a real, real, real significant impact player in any kind of trade for Jonathan Kuminga. And is that player out there that's going to swing the title for the Warriors or get them, you know, punch their ticket to conference finals? I'm not necessarily sure it is. So you continue to evaluate, see what he's doing, and then go from there. But he's been spectacular these last 2 weeks, no doubt about it.
I agree 100% with everything you just said, Sam. Sam Gordon from the San Francisco Chronicle, covers the Golden State Warriors, does a hell of a job doing that. I agree 100% on everything you said about J.K. He's coming into his own. He has the confidence. The team knows it. The coach knows it. And now he's starting to see a lot more minutes here. Whether he's starting or coming off the bench, that to me, Sam, doesn't matter. He needs 30 minutes a game. And if he gets 30 minutes a game, he's going to be productive. Now let's get to Dennis Schroeder, who feels like maybe last night could be a turning point for him. I love the way he started that first quarter. He defended very well. And then, of course, the shot came around here. What do you know about Dennis Schroeder? How are you feeling about Dennis Schroeder and his fit so far with the Warriors?
Well, it certainly hasn't been the cleanest fit so far, right? The statistics, the eye test, you know, the plus minus, all that kind of bears out over the last couple weeks. And to some, you know, to a certain extent, I think the Warriors were braced for that, right? I think in the short term, right, as he was kind of, you know, finding his way offensively, you know, incorporating pick and rolls with maybe not the cleanest pick and roll personnel, figuring out, you know, the nuances of their off-ball actions and stuff and what he needs to kind of do to keep that flow going. While he was kind of figuring that out, at the very least, he provided a ball handler, right? Another ball handler to get Stephen Curry off the ball so he doesn't have to deal with 94 feet of pressure defense and blitzes every time he's coming off a ball screen and super aggressive, you know, ball denial all the time, right? That in the short term, Curry gets freed up of that as the Warriors are figuring out how to incorporate Dennis Schroeder. Yeah, not necessarily the cleanest fit, but what we've seen over the past few games is him finding his spots, him finding his jumper, him, you know, knocking down shots. In so many ways, it's a make-or-miss league. I know it's cliche, but he was getting, you know, relatively clean looks and just missing him. And last night he comes out in the first quarter, as you mentioned, sets the tone. He knocks down three triples, stepping into his shot with confidence. And then the on-ball defense that he provides, I think that did a great job helping hold Tyrese Maxey to 4 of 13 shooting. You know he's going to compete on that side of the ball. And the energy on the sideline, the energy in the huddles, and then noticing last night, just him sprinting and moving without the ball, you know, in transition and getting down the court faster. The Nets, with Schroeder at the point, played the slowest pace in the NBA. Obviously, as we talked about before, the Warriors want to play fast. Well, he's going to have to be a part of that, whether he's on or off the ball. And, you know, you saw him playing faster. You saw him getting downhill, stepping into his three-point shot with confidence, and just giving you a nice all-around game, kind of showing the total package, what he can provide. Ball handling, a little bit of scoring, some defense, a little bit of facilitation, some shot creation, so on and so forth. And he plays his best game, you know, start to finish without a doubt as a Warrior. So still a work in progress, right? Still going to get, you know, take some time getting comfortable. I don't think you're always going to see 22 of 39 three-point shooting, that kind of, you know, that kind of collective night. But he showed what he can do. He showed why the Warriors brought him, for his two-way impact, for his ability to get Steph off the ball, and for his ability to create different shots from the Warriors with his skill set as he continues to figure out what else goes into the, you know, the read-and-react offense. It was a great showing for him last night, the kind of game that you think would give, you know, the team collectively some confidence moving forward.
Talking with Sam Gornan, covers the Warriors for the San Francisco Chronicle. And Sam, big talking point of conversation really kind of started on Christmas, but even back to last summer, Jimmy Butler, just your thoughts on the player and the potential fit if the Golden State Warriors were to trade for him. This is a guy who clearly wants out of Miami. He spoke about it last night. Doesn't have any joy when he's on the court in a Miami Heat uniform. Your thoughts on Jimmy Butler, the player, and his potential fit on the Dubs?
Well, Jimmy Butler, the player at his best, at his absolute best, I mean, on any given night, can go toe-to-toe with anybody in the NBA. You know, he's shown that he can put up that kind of 40-10-10 stat line that you need in a playoff game, in a key playoff game where shots aren't falling for other guys, where you have to grind through possessions, and he's shown to be that kind of engine, you know, the past few years with Miami. Does a little bit of everything, can kind of adapt his game or his style of play to whatever the game needs, can facilitate, can will his way to the free throw line, can guard, all those things. And the Heat have enjoyed a great amount of success the last few years because of it. But I think there's a caveat here when you're considering, you know, trading for Jimmy Butler. One, you see the kind of the situation in Miami and how that's playing out. And that's because, I mean, he's going to need a contract extension, wants max money. And do you want to max a guy that's going to be 36 in September? Because that, you know, that's, I mean, unless you're trading real assets and resources and trade chips for somebody that you want to be an expiring contract, he's going to have to come with a, you know, contract extension. That's going to be a lucrative deal for a guy that's going to be entering his age 36 season, that, you know, generally when he's at his best, has the ball in his hands, kind of slower pace. We know the Warriors want to play fast. So there's, I think, a lot of moving parts that would, you know, be involved with incorporating him in any kind of deal. You have to consider the age. You have to consider the contract. You have to consider, you know, the fit and all those things. And in a vacuum, is he, you know, a talent that would upgrade the Warriors and maybe give them a better chance to compete this season? Yeah, I think certainly, you know, depending on what you're giving up. But is he the kind of player at this stage of his career? You're talking about another, I mean, you'd be trading him for the postseason. You'd be trading him to win a championship. Mm-hmm. Do you think he can get there right now? And do you want to put all your eggs, you know, in the basket of three guys that would be in their mid-30s? That's a lot of risk, you know, with the injury concerns that everybody, you know, that they've all had in their respective careers at this stage. It's just natural that the mileage is going to pile up. So that's something that all those things you have to consider. But that being said, there are a few players in the NBA when they're at their best that can have the impact from the wing position that he can have with his all-around game. So certainly an interesting development in Miami. Certainly would be an upgrade, you know, in talent in the short term here. But you have to wonder about age and fit and incorporating him on the fly. And if, you know, he in a vacuum, considering what you'd have to give up, puts you in championship contention.
You know what, Sam? I've been saying it all morning. I'm out on him. I'm out on him. Mm-hmm. And I agree with what you said about the player on the floor. leading the Miami Heat to the finals. I'm not scoffing at that whatsoever. I'm not going to scoff at that. But looking at the player and who he is right now and what the Warriors, as you mentioned, would have to trade for, I'm not sure he makes the Warriors that much better in the Western Conference. Because they're going to, he's making, what, $47 million this year? So you're going to match those salaries? And I already talked about giving up maybe an Andrew Wiggins, maybe a GP2, who I know is hurt right now, but maybe even Kuminga. Pat Riley's not going to want anything less than a Kuminga, right? Pat Riley's no dummy.
100%, 100%. And, I mean, look at the way Kuminga, he's giving you everything that you would want. Again, I understand that playoff basketball situations, the way you're getting your points is different, but from a production standpoint, from, you know, what you've been wanting to see if you're the Warriors in terms of his growth and development, like, look at the way Jonathan Kuminga's playing right now. Yep. And we know what Andrew Wiggins, you know, how valuable his skill set and what he does is in the playoffs, right? If you're thinking about playoffs big picture, you know, his contract, what he's able to give you at just $25 million on both ends of the floor. So, yeah, it would be costly. It would be a huge cost. And at this stage of his career, with what has to come on the other side of any potential trade, which would be a lucrative contract extension, you know, you have to wonder if he's worth it, if he moves the needle enough where you're putting yourself in a position to win a title. And I just think, at the expense of the depth, it's certainly no guarantee.
All right, the Warriors scored at least 33 points in every single quarter last night, Sam, and we saw a shortened rotation. Is this the way Steve Kerr is going to roll here for the foreseeable future? Maybe rolling 9 deep here. You saw Lindy Waters III, Moses Moody, who scored in double figures in the last three nights. Buddy Hield is still playing despite the struggles from the three-point line. And Jonathan Kuminga alongside the starters. No Kyle Anderson. No Kevon Looney until garbage time. Well, can we expect to see a shortened rotation here moving forward? Maybe going 9 deep under Steve Kerr right now with the Warriors, Sam?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. We've seen this look, I think, since the Phoenix game the last few nights. Just trying to establish some continuity and consistency. And, you know, the 11-12 kind of 13-man thing, it worked early in the season and never necessarily thought it was super sustainable long-term because for all the reasons we've seen for what's played out. Injuries happen, losing happens, things change, situations change, and lo and behold, you lose 13 to 17 games. But, you know, the 9-man rotation they've gone through the last three games. You have continuity. Guys are in more defined roles, kind of know where their shot's coming from or what kind of shot diet they're getting. And you know, Kerr was extremely, you know, went out of his way in his post-game press conference last night to emphasize the professionalism of Kyle Anderson and Kevon Looney, veteran players that are still more than capable of contributing at a high level in their respective roles, right? We understand how valuable Kyle Anderson was to the Timberwolves just last year. And Looney was the starting center, you know, for a considerable period of time this season and had been playing a big role coming off the bench. So this only, you know, this is working and this is being established because you're having veteran players, you know, stepping into leadership roles, being professional, kind of putting their pride to the side and doing what's best for the team right now, which is, again, a tighter rotation, defined minutes, more defined roles, more defined shot diets, and you know, the chance to develop some continuity. So yeah, I expect it to be this way moving forward. Of course, we have Brandon Pajemski, you know, coming back. Gary Payton, the second coming back, it's not going to be easy to rearrange those minutes. I think Moses Moody certainly played his way, you know, after the knee injury into a more consistent role with his shot making, with the rhythm he's played on the offensive side of the ball. And conversely, you have Buddy Hield, you know, slumping, right? He made a three last night, but there's been a pretty, you know, significant extended slump. So maybe there's a switch there. I presume that Brandon Pajemski still going to be in the rotation and then kind of spot minutes beyond that top nine. So still a lot for Steve Kerr to figure out. But the fact that, you know, you're looking at a 9-man rotation, I think is going to make for some continuity moving forward and a better sample size, you know, the next few weeks as the trade deadline, as we approach the February 6th trade deadline, just, you know, to see what they have and to see what they might want to do if there is anything that emerges in the next few weeks.
Before we let you go, we got to figure out a day to watch a fight together. Usyk Fury was a great heavyweight fight. I thought Fury lost. No controversy whatsoever. Usyk was putting them hands on him, letting that left at will. But there's some big-time fights. Benavidez or Morrell. I don't know what Tank Davis is doing right now. He needs to fight somebody. Teofimo Lopez, he needs to fight somebody. Jared Ennis, he needs to fight somebody, for crying out loud. But we have to pick a day and watch a big-time prize fight together, Sam, all right?
Oh, yeah. But it'll happen for sure, Vontae. It's not an if, it's a when. So I can't wait for it. We'll make it happen and looking forward to the boxing calendar and the basketball calendar.
Absolutely.
In 2025 and beyond.
We got a lot of hoops. A lot of hoops to play.
Yep.
A lot of boxing fights, all that stuff. Sam Gordon, read his stuff at the Chronicle. Really good at what he does. I see you at Chase Center tomorrow night, brother.
Appreciate you guys. Have a great Friday and talk to you tomorrow. Yep. Take care.
Absolutely. Thanks, Sam. Sam Gordon here on the River Islands guest line. He was on fire. I guess, look at these. You rarely get this during guest, but 925, great guest. Zucci, man, this man is on fire. He was on fire.
I mean, that guy was Magic Johnson, Showtime, holding the point, holding on to that ball for 3 to 4 minutes at a time.
Hey, I'm not mad at that.
No, but he was very succinct, and he takes you through the layers of the conversation. Absolutely. He's not just going to give, hey, what are your thoughts on this? No, he's going to go through the progressions, if you will. Kind of like a quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. He had the ball in his hands. He went through the progressions, the reads. He didn't throw any picks. It's a clean game from Sam Gordon.
Clean game from Sam Gordon.
If you Google Sam Gordon, he is not the Sam Gordon that pops up. It's Samantha Gordon, who I guess is a football player who's 21 years old out of Utah.
Oh, wow.
She's very famous. Mm. 5 feet tall and plays football.
She's famous?
Apparently so. Samantha Gordon.
Samantha Gordon.
Samantha Gordon, nicknamed Sweet Feet.
Oh.
Sweet Feet.
There you go.
Let me see.
And not to be confused with Commissioner Gordon from Batman.
Well, I just put up Joe Spadoni, and your picture of Joe Lacob popped up.
Oh, that's my guy. I mean, that's Joey Lightyear's times two, Joe Lacob.
Wow, a lot of images, Spadoni. Huh? USA jersey, 95.7 banner, backdrop. Wow.
Yeah, okay, that's good. Hopefully there's nothing else on there. I'm getting a little nervous now.
Always clean up your internet.
Oh, I did that. Yeah, a long time ago. Well, Facebook's been gone since 2016 for obvious reasons. So.
Oh, you haven't been on Facebook since 2016?
Since 2016. Smart. There's a certain thing that happened in 2016 that made me delete the Facebook.
What happened?
Well, there's an election that year that divided family members, and I was like, I'm out of here.
Oh, boy.
It's too much.
Boy.
We'll stick to Twitter, which is, as we know, is a much better bastion of mental health and vast knowledge.
And there's our second Lie of the Year nominee.
There you go.
Shout out Blue Sky.
No one's on that. You can shout it out as much. No one else is shouting it.
You'll be on there soon.
No, we did that. Blue what Sky. Was the other one?
Mammoth.
Yeah, no.
Sorry. No, it wasn't
the
Mammoth.
The week when everyone was calling Mammoth.
Yeah, people still threading.
Threads.
Stop.
Threads.
No,
threads. People are
That's
still
its,
threading.
Threads is its own thing.
People are threading. And people are Blue Skying it.
Are the Warriors threading the needle with this Jonathan Kuminga move?
You love talking trades, man. Let's talk about the game last night, man. It was fun. I feel
great.
Good.
They won by 40 points.
Yeah, I love this.
Yeah!
Win it, and now all of a sudden we want to trade everybody.
Wire-to-wire
win, and we want to trade everybody around here. By the way, 60 seconds of celebrity coming up.
Talk about a run, baby, now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we going on a run, Bonte?
No.
That's what it sounds like.
No.
Let's go on. Let's
lock
it in.
Like a Bucks game last year.
That was a little different. A little different.
They had a win in, what was
I don't remember that. I don't remember that. We do so many shows.
Recall.
Listen.
I remember everything.
We do 4 hours a day.
I, Bonte Hill, will never lie to you, and I remember all.
No, I will never lie to you. I don't lie. Lie to get you in trouble.
It's not a lie if you believe.